help to light the candle and the incense. Then the rest of us can stand, get ready for puja. You can start. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Do sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 yeah, sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Let us compose our mind, develop the spiritual faculty of sadhavirya, then mindfully we shall pay our homage and start the puja. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Svakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated and turn to page 1 of our chanting book. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Pānātipātā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Adinadana vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Kāmesu micchācārā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Musāvādā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Sura miraya maja pamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now you have chanted the Padipa Puja. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambudang Pujayami tamonudang Nyanda sambarayutena Dopenahang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyantang Puja bacana mutamang Vanna ganda gunupetang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami monindasa Siripada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena Punnena matena cha hotu mokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasa bawang Adivase tunobante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patiganha tumutamang Adivase tunobante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patiganha tumutamang Adivase tunobante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patiganha tumutamang Now let us make the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of like. May this offering of like to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of clear water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma, and whose of the fires of all defilements within our mind, significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are going to offer to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Then sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple Gem. Batang pujemi. Tamang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can have our meditation. Okay, we can have half an hour, 30 minutes. Just nice. Just relax body and mind, then silent everything. For those who already know how to meditate, you can just proceed. For those who still need to train their mind, you also can continue the training of the mind, using whatever skillful means that you are familiar with. The more important aspect is to understand that the mind, without the spiritual faculties, they are heedless. They will think, they will have the mental hindrance that will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative states of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. That's the reason why most people, when they sit down to meditate, they cannot. There will be a lot of thinking, heedless thinking, mental hindrance. So understanding this, we will know where our weakness are. Then we develop the appropriate spiritual faculties with understanding. And our puja offering, together with the contemplation, reflection, and the chanting, they can help develop the spiritual faculties. The second turning, reflection and contemplation and inquiry, can also lead to stability of spiritual faculties. Then the daily mindfulness is to stabilize the sati of mindfulness. Then while you still want to develop that meditation, when the spiritual faculties are still not stable, you can do, but you need to develop some skillful means to train your mind So that he is in a state of relaxed inner awareness to meditate. A very good skillful means is the mind sweeping method, which we have gone through, followed by loving kindness, metta. This will bring about the inner peace leading to inner well-being. Then after that, you can use anapanasati or any skillful means that you are familiar with to stabilize the mindfulness, the awareness, until it becomes very silent, very still, very peaceful. Okay, I'll let you meditate, then I will ring the bell after about 20 or so minutes. Okay. For those who still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those who have had enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner calmness, inner mindfulness, inner awareness that you have developed. Then use this trained mind to develop the daily mindfulness. Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalisu
Atha Gacchantu Devata Saddhamma Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkhadam
Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo
Ayam Badanta
Dhamma Savana Kalo
Ayam Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuto Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Tadeo manusanang buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo Tiko akaliko Ehipasiko opanayiko Pachatang veditabo vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Nyaya patipanno bhagavato savakasango Samichi patipanno bhagavato savakasango Yatidang chattari purisa yukkani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakineyo anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyang kitang Lokasati sadu sadu sadu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pajam. Badang Pujemi Damang Pujemi Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. Anybody who has any meditation reporting, you can raise your hand, then we pass you the mic. Or you can also ask whatever question related to the meditation or the teaching. Anybody? You don't have, then Sweetheart got a topic, I think. He sent me one topic. Yeah, it's a video. Oh, you didn't record like that day. Oh, you don't have the player, did you? Oh, never mind. It's about technology. Maybe I just play a little bit for you to listen. Yeah, we can send it out to you. Oh, it's about the Einstein one, isn't it? I sent to Thursday class. Okay. You all should receive. Anyway, I just play it.
Albert Einstein famously remarked in a conversation. Werner Heisenberg. He said, you know, in the West, we've built a beautiful ship, and in it, it has all the comforts. But actually, the one thing that it doesn't have is a compass, and that's why it doesn't know where it's going. This paradox of our times was propounded by the Dalai Lama when he said, we have wider freeways, but narrower viewpoints. We have taller buildings, but shorter tempers. Also said that we spend money we haven't earned on things we don't need to impress people we don't like. And it's phenomenal how the same technology that brings us close to those who are far away takes us far away from the people that are actually close. 30 billion WhatsApp messages are sent per day, but 48% of people say that they feel lonelier in general. The paradox of our times is that we have more degrees but less sense, more knowledge but less judgment, more experts but less solutions. It was Martin Luther King who said that the irony of our times is that we have guided missiles but misguided men. Have you ever found it perplexing that we've been all the way to the moon and back, but we struggle to start a conversation across the road or across the train? And it's amazing that Bill Gates was known as the top earner in 2015 with a wealth of $79.2 billion, but one in four CEOs claim to be struggling from depression. Do we actually thrive off this paradox? Is it that this paradox actually makes the media interesting? It's what makes journalism interesting. It's what makes politics interesting. It's what makes television interesting. Is this paradox actually what we feed off and what we live off and what we talk about and discuss in our circles? Doesn't it seem that we've tried to clean the air but polluted our soul? We've split the atom but not our prejudice, and we're aiming for higher incomes but we have lower morals. So I'm hearing you ask, how do we bring a change? How do we dissect this paradox that exists in our lives, and it starts by us, each of us, pressing pause, pressing reset, and then pressing play again, taking a moment to become more conscious, taking a moment to become more aware, taking a moment to really reflect on the consequence, the implications of a misplaced word, of an unnecessary argument that we all know we didn't need to have, or to speak to someone just slightly differently, in a different tone, in a different voice, in a different empathy, with a different perspective, just to really connect with people on a different level. This thinking out loud started from Albert Einstein, and I'll track back to him when he actually said that the problems we have today can't be solved with the same thinking we used when we once created them. So actually, we need to research alternative teachings. We need to deep down dig into those ancient books of wisdom. We need to go back to understanding if there's anything written in those creased pages of time that can actually reveal more knowledge and more wisdom of how we can transform our experience of life today. Otherwise, this paradox means that every step forward we take, we're taking three backwards every time.
Okay, so this is essentially the video, that Suyan sent to me. Then in the WhatsApp, he asked me whether we can use it as a discussion topic for this Thursday. I said, yeah, okay. So what's your understanding from the video? Is it clear? You all can hear? I just sent out only. Oh, did you receive it? Oh. Wait, you all got Wi-Fi, isn't it? Oh, only now you receive. Oh, okay. Was it clear just now? Through the recording? At the back, you couldn't hear. You can hear. Oh, okay. The gist of it is, I think, quite simple. This is humanity's problem. He's talking about the paradox of time. Human beings, or living beings, especially human beings, we have progressed relatively far, technology-wise. But spiritually, we have lagged behind. That's why it's every step forward, three step backward. And all this will continue to be if the spiritual understanding does not arise to transform the individual's consciousness. Humanity's problem is with using too much thought. It has become so rampant that thought is the ultimate instrument of mind. You got no other way of using the mind except in the field of thought. And the field of thought is a technological field. You can progress very fast in the technological field, but thought cannot develop spiritual understanding, wisdom. That's where the conflict comes. That's how people become less sensitive. Without the spiritual understanding of the true mind, it is very difficult for humanity to continue to exist this way, where the emphasis is too strongly towards technology, towards the materialistic aspect of life. So you look at our whole education system, including after you graduate. Then you come out to work. The whole of your career, including commerce, banking, everything, they are all driven by technology. And this is the one that is most frightening. Without a proper balance, humanity will develop a lot of new problems. Especially mental problems. Mental problems, which is psychiatric in nature, leading to depression and all those things. Mm-hmm. then through the thought process, they will come out with a lot of ideas. All this is a result of using too much of the thought process. They have forgotten that they have another aspect to consciousness, to the mind. The silent within, when there is no thought, no movement, no activity of the thinking mind, mundane mind. And that aspect has been largely forgotten. Only cultivators who really have the understanding have some form of ability to come into contact with it and to develop the understanding of the spiritual aspect of life. And without the understanding of the spiritual aspect, your life is incomplete. That's why they realize a lot of things were not correct anymore after they have done all this, despite the very fast progress that the world has experienced over the last 30 to 40 years, especially our last 40 years, the 80s until 2017, now it's 2017, another 3 more years, 2020, we're supposed to hit our vision 2020. And what is our vision 2020? They look forward to what? High income, a developed country. So they are not looking at the happiness of life and the spiritual aspect. Although they are a very small percentage, I think there is some organization, they even come up with an index to measure happiness. So they rate Bhutan. That's the only country that has the highest rating for happiness. Yeah, they put a lot of emphasis on happiness. Then they are very environmentally friendly. Don't know whether it's true or not, according to their king. Their country is the only one. What positive? Negative carbon. Carbon negative. The rest are carbon positive. Means we emit a lot of carbon discharge. So they have a very good way of sustaining their environment. Then they put in a lot of emphasis on human happiness. Theirs is not so commercialized, not so materialistic in approach. But with one or two countries doing this, it's not enough. So if you want to discuss this topic, we have to divide this topic into two very distinct area of development. So these two very clear-cut disparity that leads to all this paradox that was mentioned in the video was technological. Technological advancement. The old emphasis on technology and materialistic life. So this one is. Then the second one is spiritual. Spiritual development. These are involved the human consciousness. These are involved the thought process. So these two, there must be the what they call a balance. So you have to balance the two. Otherwise, you will get into trouble. So these two, there must be a balance. our today's world, the emphasis is mainly on this one, isn't it? Yeah? Technology and materialistic advancement, or materialistic world. Yeah, towards technology. You realize that? It's almost 100% towards the advancement of technology and to improve your materialistic life. Very little has been put on the spiritual development. Of course, they include morals, subject that has been taught in school. But that subject is, to me, for the birds. You know what is for the birds. If you want the birds to learn ethics, we talk about professional ethics. Can you teach the bird ethics? Yeah, cannot, isn't it? If they see food, nobody, they will just eat. Yeah. But human beings want to learn about ethics, to be ethical. Means something that is not against your profession, your conscience. Liang xing. But they add in the other two, go fei. You're supposed to add liang xing, but they add at the back the two, which is very bad. Means you are totally immoral. So what is being taught in our education system, the present education system, is almost 90% geared towards technological advancement, materialistic progress. Yeah. So basically, it's using the thought process. When you use the thought a lot, what happened? Yeah. What happened when you use the thought a lot? You have a lot of knowledge. So when you use the thought a lot, you have a lot of knowledge. Then what will happen? This one develop a lot of knowledge. Whereas the other one develop one? A lot of wisdom. So you see the big difference between these two. That's why you get into trouble. Understand? When you have too much knowledge, the Buddha say what? Knowledge bind. Understand? That's why in the seven stages of purification, Satta Visuddhi, you have to purify a lot of things. You have to purify your views, your knowledge, purification of views, purification of. The first one is, of course, Sila Visuddhi, moral values. Then Ditti Visuddhi. Then after that is Chitta Visuddhi. The consciousness and its content. So if you have too much knowledge, it will bind you. Your knowledge without the balance of wisdom is very dangerous. That's the reason why the world is going towards that direction of destruction. With knowledge and technology, the motivation is mainly materialistic, to be successful. Money. The bottom line is, how much money can we make? So when they do this at the expense of environment, what will happen? It will lead to pollution, isn't it? It will lead to destruction of nature. Then you have problems like global warming and other things. Then you will end up in situation where the destruction of the greens, the forest, will be very rampant. And it will result in a lot of climate changes. Or when you push too hard, for development. And when development takes place too fast, you destroy environment. Then the ecosystem, everything will be affected. Then the weather, all the related elements of nature, they will go through a great transformation. And it's always not for the better, because when you use technology, you are not sensitive. You never feel for the world. You don't have love. You only have greed. The bottom line is selfishness, take rein. Then those with power, authority, take rein. Then it leads to a lot of unnecessary competition. But like I used to say, we cannot blame technology. You understand? It is the user of technology that is the most important. So the user is the key to resolve this problem. And who is the user? The user of technology. So all of humanity, we are the user of technology. That's why Krishnamurti said the user of technology, the individual, this one must transform. The user or the individual. This one is very important. That's why Krishnamurti said the individual must change. Means internal transformation, transformation of consciousness via development of wisdom. The understanding of life. And when we have that Dhamma, which is the Buddha's teaching, we will have the understanding to live life. Then we can strike a balance in life. Then we can develop beautiful civilization. We can develop beautiful relationship among humanity. And civilization can be very different. Because when the user of technology is wise, then technology become your friend. Technology can solve a lot of our problem, like pollution, climatic changes, global warming or whatever. That's why during the early days, early years, I remember, I finally understood why this life, this nature come. Since I was in primary school, standard 2, very funny, you know, deep insight come out on us. Yeah? I told you all that there is a curriculum cut that follow us. Then we have to put in our choice of ambition. You are given 2 choices, I remember. The first one, I straight away put civil engineer. Very funny. I also don't know how that idea come. And I was the last in the class. Then, of course, second one, I put teacher. That's why when my classmate next to me saw, he took my card and went in front of the class and announced. He said, he called me by name. He said, Ken Kun want to become an engineer. The whole world engineer already, but I was the last in the class. But when I reflected back, I realized even as I graduated as a civil engineer in the year 1979, then I came out to work. I had a lot of passion for my career. I like this field because this is the field where I can understand many things. And I can learn many things, and I can contribute many things towards many aspects of society and the world as a whole. Then when I'm given a project, assigned a project, I look at it very meticulously. I have to know the whole picture. Then I will take care of all the important things, especially erosion. Now we call it environmental impact study. During the early days, this particular field of environmental impact study, we seldom heard of. Maybe Ng Vi will know as a planner. As a planner, during the early day when you study, were you all told about environmental thing? You don't study. Or you were informed. Mainly erosion, landslide or something. For us, is when you want to start a project, later on the government authority come out with this environmental impact study. If EIA, if that report fail, the project cannot take off. And you know, commercial people. If the report fail, get another consultant who is willing to pass it for you. And they can put in all the mitigation. To me, it's a waste of time. A lot is, like in Cantonese, lot is common. If you want to seriously implement that, which is a very good way of screening projects, then it has its purpose and intent, and it's very important for humanity. But because of greed, because of the way society is, they can circumvent the thing and just get people to come out with the environmental impact analysis or study. And you know what they do? They know this project cannot go through. They come out with what? Mitigation. That is a dirty word. You have to take that word out. Then a lot of the major projects cannot take off. Because mitigation is, they promise you, and you know, all these commercial people, when it involves money, all the promises can become very different when they implement. So even for most of our civil engineering project, I remember the first thing we need to take care is the erosion part, like Ng Vi used to say. The effect of erosion. Because the first thing you go in is you have to do a lot of clearing. You know what is clearing, isn't it? You clear all the vegetation, you clear all the trees and all those things that are in the way. Then you do major earthwork. Understand? Not? You cut and you fill. Then sometimes not enough, you go and import some more. Cut other place. Then sometimes too much, you don't know where to throw, you simply throw. Royalty also don't want to pay. So you have a lot of this type of people. Then the pollution, nobody take care. But as a civil engineer, I wouldn't do this type of thing. I make sure things are properly done. Then I try to go for minimum cut, minimum fill. It's a balanced cut and fill with a little bit of surplus. Then minimum disturbance to the environment. So I try to salvage all the gullies and others. You know what are gullies? Waterway. Then as a civil engineer, it was like inborn from my past. I know how to take care of all this. Even when I built highway, I did a lot of highway and all those things. I was involved in major master infrastructure projects. Infrastructure means involving thousands of acres. And there was one, the biggest one I did was 16,000 acres, where we have to go and study in detail. Then that time the planner also got problem because they are not good at terrain. They are very good at town planning, project planning. But when it comes to terrain, they cannot see because it's 3D. Then technological things like sewerage, drainage. But these are the field of civil engineer. The impact it has and implication it has on the costing, the bottom line, everything. That's why you were to let me handle all this project. I can save a lot of money for the client, and yet I fulfill almost all that is need to be fulfilled for the environment. Yeah. That is a proper project, a proper technical project, if you want it approved and properly done. Then the implementation part is very important. I remember we did the Sierra Mas, eh? You all heard of Sierra Mas, eh? Tan and Tan project near Sungai Buloh there. Last time it was near the leprosy center. They said, how can you build high end there? But it turned out to be very beautiful. So what I did was we were the consultant who finally became the master infra consultant, take care of the whole thing. Then they got this Australian planner and architect, the first one that did the layout. Then the client was very good. They sent us to Australia, to this, what they call Century Cove, Queensland, the state of Queensland, Brisbane there. They sent all the consultants there. So I was there on the fully paid trip with about five or six of my colleagues and some of the architects and consultants. So we were there. So we studied their Australian concept, their design and all things. Then we came back. We also implement to suit our local condition. Then because the planner and the architect were from Brisbane, Australia, and the engineers also, so they were not familiar with our local requirement. So what happened was, in the first presentation when they came, they also talked about environmental friendly and all those things. Then they had this idea of not disturbing too much of the vegetation. But then I told them, if you do that design, it's very difficult for you to gain access. It's quite undulating, mountainous. There are three or four ridges with four gullies, I think. So I say, why not we fill up one of the least affected gullies? Yeah. Then I say we can have very good access. Yeah. Then after that, you can straight away reach the summit. Then from there, you do very gradual work trim. Then fill up the side, the slope, and get a wider platform for your property. Then all the other four gullies we can maintain. So the concept came out very beautifully. Then also I choose a low point for the sewerage and other things. Then the infrastructure connecting boundary condition, which they didn't know, I gave them the input. So initially when the first meeting in front of the whole of the Tan and Tan board of directors, when I mentioned that, I think the planner got a shock. Then after that, he asked me, can I know your name? He said, oh, Mr. Teo, okay. Can we talk about this later? He said, I will consult you, he said, because he was not familiar with the local condition. But anyway, what I try to drive at is, their planning concept were good, except that they are not familiar with our local condition. So that's how my input complemented them. Then they were very happy. Then later on, when I implemented the thing, the gully that I fill up, I didn't just fill it up like that. No. You just fill up a gully like that, you have problem down there. But it's a natural waterway. You know what is a natural waterway? It's already a gully, isn't it? All the water already flowing through there. So you have to drain that place, you understand? Huh? So I put in a very simple design, subsoil drain, to drain the area. And when I did that, the client couldn't understand. The architect also couldn't understand. Why you waste money on all these things? I say it won't cost you much, but you will see the beautiful benefits. Later on, after I did that, you know, it stabilized the earth field, you know, because the natural waterway was drained, there was no water lock. Then there was no instability of soil disturbance and all those things. Then because I have that water source that come out through the the drainage. Yeah? We call it just I used the word, what was it, subsoil, the subsoil drainage. That water came out was crystal clear, so clear, because it was like after going through all the filter, then my subsoil also got filtered. It was so clean and so beautiful. Then the contractor was so happy. Say, Mr. Teo, thank you so much. He said, I don't need pipe water. Your this water is more clean. So they use it for their site activity and other things. Then also, they use this. You know, the environmental people, they come and check your silt trap and all those things. This guy was so cunning, I didn't know. I said, did you send for EIA? He said, Mr. Teo, show pass one, you don't worry. I said, why? Because the EIA people trust our men. So we took from your subsoil there, very clean. I said, all the sample, show pass one. I said, you don't play that type of thing. I said, but I was there at the site almost every day. And it was very well managed and very well done. So everything was done accordingly. So that's why that scheme come out beautiful. And humanity can do it if you have this understanding. If you are not motivated by greed, by selfishness. Because the downfall of technology is when the user of technology has the evil root. You understand? So this user of technology, this one must not have evil root. Must not have evil root. Which means it must have wisdom. It's just like we all, the user of thought. Technology is no different from your thought. If you have the Dhamma, the teaching of the Buddha, you will know how to use your consciousness appropriately. That's why the Buddha talked about Noble Eightfold Path as the meditation. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. And Noble Eightfold Path starts from right view, which is right understanding, which is right wisdom. So when you have right view, it will lead to the right thought. That's why the user of thought becomes beautiful. Because it has wisdom, it will arise the right thought. And right thought will condition right action, right speech, right livelihood, and right way of relationship and dealing with things. So likewise, when it comes to technology, we cannot blame technology. Technology is like the thought. It's neither good or evil. It's the use of technology. If the use of technology has the Dhamma, that's why I say the user, the individual, is very important. If they have the understanding, the wisdom, technology will become beautiful. Yeah. Just like what you are experiencing now. A lot of IT technology, Alipay and all those things. You heard of Alipay? These are self-regulating IT apps or payment system. So they are like nature's law. But because it's IT control, it's like the IT guy play God and so on. So they regulate the usage of their apps. And it's very beautiful. It's like your Uber driver is the same. How they regulate the Uber driver? Yeah? How do they regulate? They allow the passenger to give feedback. You understand? If you got complaint more than don't know how many times, 2 or 3 times, they will take you out. Because they cannot use you. Then you have to develop the way to qualify. Means you have to have understanding as taught by them. You have to be courteous, you have to be sincere, you have to be clean, you have to be meticulous about your career, your job. Then they guarantee you the passenger load. You can get beautiful, what they call, almost like non-stop. Within a few seconds or a few minutes, there will be somebody that you can go and fetch or carry. So all these apps are self-regulating. Then Alipay also same. They try to regulate the supplier, the logistic guy, and also the consumer. Then they want all those who are sincere, honest, trustworthy to be their panel of whatever you call one. Those that are involved in their apps, those related ones. That's why the e-commerce is the by far the largest and the most successful. And they are able to do this is because this Jack Ma guy is a very, very wise guy. He talked about whatever thing that they develop. The first thing is to screen the qualification. It's not about profit, is it? Bottom line. That one is not important. He said whatever apps that the R&D come out with, the first thing is how it impact on humanity and how it can benefit the human race, the human consciousness. If it has that, then they will develop it. They will invest in it, and it's long-term, long-haul. It's just like how his Alibaba took so long to take off. And when it take off, he really, really get to reap all the profits and all those things. And because they are able to come out with a business model that is good for all, understand? Everybody benefits. Not only the consumer benefit, the supplier, the vendors, all those that are in the whole chain, the logistic people, the bankers and all those things. The whole of the logistic chain that make this e-commerce a great success, they are all regulated by the apps. That's why you can see the potential for our planet Earth. And there are people who can come out with this. And Alipay has done it in such a beautiful manner that it has its great potential to impact upon the human race, the human consciousness. It's about not only morality in its sense, it's about good ethics, good practices. And these are the things that the world needs. That's why when you understand, you will not blame technology. And last night, I think our MU classmate, they got this dinner, reunion dinner. We're supposed to have 10 of us. End of the day, only 9 turned out. We got one of them, Chu Hong, I think he was not free. Then next to us, there was one group. They joined together 5 of the long bench, and they got 28 of them. Then one of the old, I don't call him old, I call him the more elderly one from that table, saw us, one group, younger one, then came over and chat with us. He said, "What year are you all from?" And you know our Fuk Chai, Wong Fuk Chai, he thought it was our birth year, I straight away knew wrong already. He said, "We are 1954. The old man got a shock. "Wow, you are more senior than us." Actually, that was our birth year. He's talking about graduating from Chongling. That's right, Chongling Association. They were the year 1956. When they graduate from Chongling, we only 2 years old. And Fuk Chai didn't know that we are the year 1954. Wow, then I look at Fuk Chai and say, "You serious?" Then the elderly man said, "Oh yeah, Oh, you know, you're more senior than us, he said. But you look at us all so young. Oh. Then I corrected Phuc Chai. I said, it's the year they are in Form 5. We are that time Chung Ling. After Form 5, you don't go to Form 6. Later year, when you got Form 6. So, Form 5. So I say, refer to Form 5. Form 5 may be on 1971. It's not 54. So, that group, the whole group, because some of them during that time, I think because of the war and all those things, they enter the school at a much older age. That's why the youngest is 76, I think. The oldest is 80 plus. And 28 of them are still happily having good reunion, good dinner, and they had it every month. Then somebody from our table say, wow, can we continue for the next 20 years like them? And have 28. Now we can hardly even get one table. Then one of them suggests, hey, next time maybe not this round table anymore. We have to sit maybe left with four, the square table over there. So all this is what the reality of this human form is all about, understand? But you should count your blessing. It's not the number of years that we have. It's how you live your life, understand? Every day is beautiful if you really know how to live. So this human form, or what we call the physical form and mind, means karmically conditional for us to use to come to this world. We need to understand it. We need to have the wisdom to make use of it so that we can live life to the fullest, so that we can still, despite our age, get to experience life beautifully. We can still experience all of the beauty and wonders of life if we have the understanding and the wisdom. Then some of them dimensional. How come they are all so still look so good and so healthy? Nobody like got problem one. Then one of the wise ones say, no lah, those that cannot come one already bedridden and all those things, paralyzed, that one cannot enjoy. This one only the healthy one with the money one come. So there are various versions of what you perceive and what you see. But what is more important is the harmony, understand? The friendship, the genuine classmate, get together and all those things. Of course, we may talk about old times. Then like King Kong, he mentioned, is it? Last time we used to come talk politics. Or they use the word, not so refined word, is it? We talk cock. We talk all those things that we used to talk in the unity and all those things. Of course, there's a lot of laughter and joke and all those things, good memories and all those things. Then almost everyone has retired. Yeah. I think the one that is still working is Lim Kim Tan. He has his own company, but he is more or less like retired. Yeah. Then yeah, Phuc Chai. Oh, not Chai. Sorry, Phuc Chai. Phuc Chai is still working, but his job is very easy. No stress. They see him. Wow, Phuc Chai, you like retire very long. Yeah, he got no stress. He has been with Sunway for very long, and he has established that division. But his one is not in the not directly related to construction, so not that stressful. But he is good. He. I think he has the understanding to plan his work very well. And Phuc Chai, he got a lot of things to share too. Then he wants to find out more. Well, Kim Tan got some problem, you all know, the spinal surgery. Not easy, you know. Actually, for him to survive until now, he was born with a hole in the heart, no? And he got a surgery at the age of 6, no? He said if that surgery was not done, he would not have become what he is today. He would have long, long ago, bye-bye. And after that, he lived until, I think, end of last year. He also didn't know what happened, no, but he know he has problem where he overweight. His weight was very, very much overweight, very heavy. Then, luckily, he went to UMSC, University of Malaya Specialist Center. There is one professor, don't know what Chan, I think, I forgot already. He said he's very good. He diagnosed and he told him, you are going to be paralyzed if you don't do this operation. It's the spinal cord up there. Don't know which vertebra, I don't know. Then he went through it last year, I think. Yeah. But he has to wear that stripe and all those things. Like, I don't know what you call that. The support. Very, very strong metal support. He said, so far so good, he recovered. He said, you only do it if you have the risk of paralysis. So he said, if bed-driven paralysis, no more life. So because of that, he made the decision. And he has been on the thing for since August last year. But he's doing fine, and he can still join us now. And this time around, he's so much better than earlier on. That's why take care of your health, your physical. Yeah? You need to spend more time on it. Yeah? Life is not just about working, and looking for money. Of course, money is useful, important too. But you have to have a balance, understand? Enough is enough. Simple life. You really need, because there is a need, then you need to work. You work, but don't work at the expense of your health. So you make sure you are fit and you are still capable. Otherwise, you are pushing yourself too far. So understanding is very important, very useful. So what I try to share with you all is overall, it's not just our society, it's not just what we are experiencing within this civilization. It's about understanding life, understanding who you are, what you are, the Buddha Dhamma, the Buddha's beautiful teachings. So when you have the Buddha Dhamma, which is like the secret of life, you will understand life, you will know how to live. Then it is not technology. You don't blame anything. The world is just the world. Things is just the way it is. Condition like that, things will be like that. So you only need to accord and flow. Develop the understanding to be at peace with whatever that arises. Otherwise, you will have a lot of views and opinion about things. Then you want to talk about this, you want to talk about that. Then you want to argue over all these things. No point. That's the reason why the Buddha said, nothing frees. Nothing frees the living being except wisdom, understanding. It's not your wealth, not your status and all those things. Finally, it's about understanding life. And that is the most important. That's why the Buddha Dhamma is most important. So, above here, you must develop the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. I put in red. So this one means understanding the Buddha Dhamma. Yeah. where you have understood the truth. The Buddha Dhamma is essentially the truth, the reality. Yeah. But he has summarized all of truth into just four noble truths. And these are the essential truth, truth that can make you enlightened, noble ones. That's why it's called the Four Noble Truths. So basically, the whole of the teaching of the Buddha is what you need. When you have that, you don't have to worry about the world. You don't have to worry about what people say and do. More important is you as an individual. How can you contribute to the world, to the consciousness of the world? Are you polluting the world? Polluting, not only materialistically or physically polluting, consciousness-wise, you pollute. You know how you pollute or not? Yeah? How do you pollute the world consciousness? Yeah? How do you pollute the world consciousness? By arising all the heedless thinking, the wrong thought. The thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. This will lead to the downfall of human consciousness. And through this, you pollute the human consciousness. So as Kayanamitas, we are beautiful people. Isn't it? We not only avoid all evil, no? We cultivate the positive and noblest of precepts. We develop love, compassion, contentment, kindness, goodness, gentleness, then respect, gratitude, and other things. And we are of great blessing to all. And because of that, you contribute towards the very positive enhancement of consciousness. And through this, the nature's law will protect you. Dhamma protect the soul, protect you. That's why when you go this way, your life will be different. Your life will improve. And you can see the result before you, very clearly manifesting every now and then. But you don't have the faith, you have not gone into the understanding of the teaching, and you have not put it into practice and cultivation, into life, you can never see it, you can never experience it or reap the good result of what the Dhamma can do for you. So it is through this understanding that we come out with this Kayanamita concept to make every Kayanamita so beautiful. That's why you must go to the website to read about the attributes of a fellow Kayanamita. You must have those very good qualities and attributes that make you a true Kayanamita, a Dhamma friend who walk the path of Dhamma with sincerity, with good understanding. And all this can bring about transformation to the world. It starts, of course, from the individual. From one, it touches many. Then the many touch more. And it will expand. That's why you don't need a very big number. You only need 1% to transform. And the whole world will become so beautiful. Yeah. Oh, we still got half an hour. Huh? Very good. Okay, I have already shared my part. What about you all? Yeah? Anybody just put up your hand because it's a Dhamma sharing. Yeah? You can share whatever understanding or viewpoint that you have. Or do you have any question? Or anything you want to report? Ingvi, yeah. The mic is with you.
Yeah. With reference to our Sunday Whooping Jingse sharing.
That one was very good. Yeah.
I can't remember what was that, but this is good. This, my question is this regarding 神秀.
Yeah, yeah.
I think many cultivators are like him.
Yes, trapped in that.
Trapped in the
that particular
gate, outside the gate of
awakening. Yeah, yeah. He's at the you call it what? He's at the gate of what word was it? I also cannot remember. The fifth material dimension. You are at the gate of enlightenment. The gate of enlightenment. Actually, the next step you go in, you will realize Nibbana. He will realize Nibbana. But because he couldn't comprehend that part, he was already ready.
There's a writer was mentioning, if you were there, you would advise him how to cross over
to
awakening.
He was straight away awakened.
Yeah, so if you like to maybe share with us, will you advise people like Sensei? Okay. And then why not fifth patria advise him after already passed the sixth patria ropes or what to Hui Neng? He end up like don't know where.
After that, he must have tried. But whether Sensei got it or not, I'm not sure, because it was not in the sutta, it was not mentioned. You see, when people develop the cultivation without understanding, they will be trapped. You understand? Like Sensei. To Sensei, he actually understood the Theravada practice, the cultivation. That's why in his poem you can see very clearly. He said, our body is like a bohi tree. Sen ru pu ti su. Then our mind, that one he got it wrong. A mirror bright on the stand. So these two verse will straight away tell you that he has not gone beyond thought, beyond mind. He is using the mundane mind to cultivate. But the first verse, he got it beautifully, on the dot, correct, based on what the Buddha shared. He said our body is like a bohi tree. Means, when the Buddha sat underneath the bohi tree, what happened? He became what? Enlightened. It's a tree of enlightenment. That can make you enlightened. So since you was correct in that sense. That's why he used the analogy. Our body is like a bohi tree. If you meditate on it, you can become enlightened. It's not that you meditate under the bohi tree, you can become enlightened. Because he understood what the Buddha mentioned, is it? The Buddha mentioned under one of the discourse, I forgot which discourse, I don't know whether it's Dhammapada verse or what. Very likely it's Dhammapada verse. He said, within this phantom length body, I proclaim the world, the cause of the rising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that lead to the cessation of the world. Means, from this phantom length body, along with perception, thought, and mindfulness, he can realize the Four Noble Truths. And you look at his teaching, he said, the four foundation of mindfulness is the only way. Ekayano bhikkhave bhikkhu. O bhikkhu, this is the only way for the purification of mind, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for realizing the right path, for the realization of Nibbana, which is the enlightenment. And what is this only way? Is it namely the four foundation of mindfulness? Satipatthana. The first foundation is mindfulness of the kaya. That's why within this phantom-like body there is this physical body. That's why the first foundation you can cultivate from here. Then the second foundation is what? Vedana nupasana. So within this phantom-like body there is also Vedana. You can cultivate it. Then chitta nupasana. Within this phantom-length body, the form and mind, there is also this consciousness and this content, citta. That's how you can cultivate citta nupassana. then all the Dhamma also is within this phantom-like body, the reality, the characteristics of nature, impermanent, suffering state, non-self. You can insight into it. You can awaken the five mental hindrance, the five spiritual faculties, the seven factors of enlightenment, the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases. So all these are within the Four Noble Truths, everything. So since he was correct, that's why he used that to cultivate. But then he hold on to the wrong mind. So when he taught that mind, which is the mundane mind, you know why he say it's like a mirror bright on the stand? Yeah? Why does he say it's a mirror bright? What does a mirror do? Reflect everything in there. What does your mind do? It reflects everything you see, everything you hear, you smell, you taste, you tactile feel and think. That's why he got it right, but that is the mundane mind. That is not the true mind. And nobody tell him about the true mind. That's why he couldn't penetrate. He couldn't realize. So when he believed that this is the mind, what does he do? The third verse, what did he say? Polish until it shine, so that no dust can align. So again, he make two more mistakes. That mind that need to be polished is definitely not the true mind, anasana. The true mind is zuzu putong, anasana. Suchness. There is nothing inside there. It's just like that. But because he didn't have the ability to seize the mind and to realize that, that's why he can never understand that. That's why he keep on using the thought to meditate, to develop mindfulness or attentiveness, not knowing that the moment you are without thought, you are already aware, like here. The moment you are without thought, you're already aware. There is a T. And he doesn't know this. So what does he do? He arises a thought to be ever mindful. Understand? This thought that he arises, because his mind is quite calm, quite peaceful, he can develop the four foundation of mindfulness. But he cannot insight into the characteristic of nature, because he doesn't know that this mind that he's holding on to, even the pure thought, is still a thought. It's still a division. Understand? It's still a duality. That's why he created the opposite, the dust. And this pure thought want to be ever mindful, so that no dust can alight. And this is exactly what the Buddha's advice is. The first two advice. First two advice, he say what? Avoid all evil. Or all evil is to be avoided. That is what Sensu is doing, understand? He using the pure mind, not the true mind. To him, is that wholesome mind, understand? That don't have the evil root. And he using that to avoid all evil. Then he also used that to cultivate right thought, good thought and altruistic. But the third advice he don't understand, purify the mind. When you purify the mind, the Buddha never used thought. He just mentioned sati, awareness. That's why I don't know why the Mandarin word they use the word zhen nian. Why do they use the word zhen nian? Nian is thinking, isn't it? Nian tou, correct or not? So, what is zhen nian? It's right thought, isn't it? Is it correct translation? Si wei is what? Oh, si wei is thinking. Then nian? No. That one is jian. Yeah, but you all call mindfulness as zhen nian. What is nian? Nian jing de nian, hai shi shenme nian? That word.
Nian jing de nian, but sometimes they call it doing, doing,
What is actually nian? The equivalent meaning, nian. That's why when I first heard from my wife, I asked her, what is the Mandarin word for mindfulness? She told me, zhen nian. I straight away say wrong, because the word nian is a thought. That's why since you got problem. And the problem in Mahayana is, I think, because of the Mandarin language. The second noble truth, which is the cause of arising or suffering, they don't use cause of arising. They say accumulation. Qi. But nian, the meaning is not sati. Oh, it's not sati. Xiang nian. All are thought. So it's the wrong word. That's why sense you cannot get it. And that's why not. Because it's zhen nian. Means what? Right thought. That's why he used the wholesome thought to meditate. So, under the teaching, the Buddha mentioned very clearly, purification of mind can only arise through mindfulness. That's why ekayano bhikkhave bhikkhu. This is the only way. Satipatthana, the four foundation of mindfulness, not four foundation of thought or thinking. That's why you have to be ever mindful to realize that. So, to realize that, the Buddha said, you have to strive on with heedfulness. This word, the two words combined, like I explained before, strive on with heedfulness is not using effort to do, understand or not? Strive on with heedfulness means you strive on to develop this heedfulness, understand or not? Which is ever mindful. Ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. You have to strive on to develop heedfulness. Means you have to be in a state of awareness. Full awareness, continuous awareness. Then you use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, which includes Samasati, understand not? That's why you have to go to Samasati to realize the awakening. That's why the Buddha used the word, this is the only way. It was correct. It's not one of the way. A lot of people say, one of the way. No, the only way. So this Samasati, if you don't understand the sutta, you cannot use the true mind to cultivate. Because it's all about sati, all about the silent mind. That's why everywhere you go, even what na long, long po tong ba, you ask Lily. The same message. Silent mind, that's it. Yeah. That's why after that we came out, she was walking with me. Relative, actually we don't have to come so far. We already learned from you, the silent mind. But this one is the true mind, the meditative mind. When you are without thought, you straight away will realize that that awareness is independent of condition. You understand that word? The awareness is without thought. Nothing inside. Understand? Huh? That true mind cannot come out. Cannot talk. No word, nothing. So, it is eternally there. Means it doesn't need condition for it to arise. That's what sati is all about. The aware nature doesn't need anything. Like hearing consciousness, you need vibration, then only you become conscious, isn't it? But to be aware of silence, there is no sense data. Do you understand? Then who is aware of silence? It's the essence of mind, your true mind. The true mind can be aware. But the moment the word come out, the perception or the content come out, the aggregate come out, that is the mundane mind. And that is where the thin line is. That is where sense you cannot realize and penetrate. That's why mainly because I think it's the Mandarin word that causes him the problem. Yeah. So what happened is, if the fifth patriarch were to tell him that the mind that you are using is the mundane mind, not the true mind. He would have awakened if he has the parami. Even if he don't have the parami. Fifth ACR only need to go one step further. Who created wholesome and dust? It's the thought. That thought must cease. You remember Wu Ping Ching said the duality? Good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome. This one comes from thought. Understand? Whatever that thought creates, you cannot use thought to eliminate. You understand? That is created by thought. When this arises, the Buddha already said, imas means sati idang hoti. That will arise. You cannot have one and doesn't want the other one. But that is what duality is all about. When you hold on to one, the other one will arise. When this arises, that arises. When this ceases, that ceases. Why can't you see it? So when you see it, the culprit is what? The mundane mind that created these two words, concept and idea. So you have to seize this mind. Understand? The moment you seize this mind, you are like winning. 本来无一物，何处惹尘埃? Originally, that true mind got nothing. Where does the light, the dust alight? The dust is duality created by mundane mind. If the mundane mind don't arise, 起心动念, there is nothing inside that. That's why he would have straight away awakened. And he would have became the sixth patriarch. That's why when you have that understanding, you know how mind to mind seal can happen. You remember early day I used to share with you, when I mentioned about Asaji, mentioning the two stanza. Then Sariputta became a Sotapan. During the early day, after I have developed the meditation, when I read that two stanza, my nature told me one. If I were to hear that, this nature will also awaken. Because it's from the past. What I need is just truth, essential truth. And what did Asaji told Sariputta? He said, whatever that is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. And there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions, my teacher has explained. Straight away, he became a Sotapan. It's very easy, understand? It points towards what? Everything is condition arising, dependent originating. And these causes and conditions, Asaji said, my teacher has explained. And what has he explained? Law of karma. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma. So this one is very immediate. Straight away, Sakaya Ditti gone. Because if everything is dependent originating, condition arising, how can there be a permanent unchanging entity? How can there be a you and a me and a I? All this break down, collapse. That's why it cannot hold. That's why the Dhamma is very powerful. Very amazing. When the mundane mind realizes itself, it ceases. And it's so easy for sensu, understand? And some of you can, with this explanation, you reflect, contemplate, and you silent. You will connect through and understand. Because many of you actually can awaken already. You are ready, but you don't have the faith. You don't have the sadha, because you don't believe the thought you want telling you. How can? Cannot. That's why without sadha, nothing happens. Sadha is very important. Have faith. Have faith in the teaching. So when you have faith in the Buddha Dhamma, you will have the spiritual faculty to awaken. And to awaken is not difficult, especially during this era, this asana. Because the consciousness is there, so beautiful. And this era, there are a lot of great beings here. A lot. Even those that have similar nature like me, there are a lot. a lot in the sense, yeah, if you are a spiritual practitioner who are involved in this, then you can meet them. So, but if you are not involved in this, you can never meet them. Even you meet them, you don't know who they are. Understand? No? That's why I said, if you are in this field, you will understand. Because you can feel, you can sense. The consciousness is so different. The whole of the movement is so different. The past few years moved very fast after 2012. Then the condition just keep on arising. The last 2-3 years was pretty amazing. Especially the beginning of 2015. To be accurate, it's the end of 2014. All of a sudden, this nature can sense that something is moving. Because for no reason, a lot of Kayana Mita write to me, you know, asking for the Bodhisattva way. You know, never before. And how can it happen? It just happened. Then after that, they came and request. That's why I told Padma Suri, go ahead, gather everybody. And that was 2nd of January 2015, remember. Yeah. That's how the talk come about. That year one, then 2016, another three sharing on the Bodhisattva. And this 4 is going to become a book. I have just finished, about to finish one. Then the other 3, I think, very fast. Because they are quite similar. Yeah. The only thing is, I need time to listen to it. Yeah, because recently, I have quite a bit of things to do too. Traveling and all those things. Yeah. So all this will come out. When it come out, you will see the connection. In fact, you have been attentively listening to the Heart Sutta and all those things. Even the last chapter, the Satipatthana. You remember you transcribed that one? I hinted inside there, you can read. All the conditions just arise. You know? And you know, not only the Bodhisattva way, you know. Suddenly, Hui Rong asked for the Diamond Sutta to be taught. And this type of teaching, nobody will ask one. The Diamond Sutta got little or no Dhamma one. It's all about the cultivation. How to cultivate to realize Buddhahood. And cultivate with the understanding of no mark. No mark of a self-cultivating. No mark of a living being to be saved. No mark of life, existence, and the Dhamma or the conditioned world. And this type of sutta, who would like to request for it to be shared? And how many can understand? That's why that time when the request came, I was so surprised. But I knew the condition were there, otherwise it wouldn't happen. Then after that, Wu Pingqing also request for the same sutta. I said, I can't. I told Miss Lee, I can't. It was mentioned in that last final summary of the Satipatthana Sutta. I said, I can't. My nature never do this in two places. That's why I said, you choose another one. Then finally, he chose the 6th Pitya Platform Sutta, which was an equally beautiful sutta. That's why this sutta simultaneously come out. No? And what is this sutta? It's for the Bodhisattva to cultivate. Nothing else. That's why the Bodhisattva way and together with this all come out. Then this recent retreat, also the condition come for people to request. And there are beings that has been waiting for all this. That's why the reaffirmation, if you do it, with the appropriate understanding, it will be very powerful, very beautiful. And I remember last year also same. When all of a sudden, you remember, on the 8th day, I think 7 or 8th day, I forgot already. Joyce, remember? All of a sudden, the Om Pemi Memi Hom, very loud one, you remember? Is the first voice that come out was definitely not from her. Is some other nature, some other being. She also confirmed later on. Oh. And it was so powerful. And because of that, my nature knew inside rejoice. And I sent the pure wish out. In this Bodhisattva way, it's mentioned inside the talk. I granted that POH because of the condition. I said, let it be fulfilled. Then one shot, all come out. And there was so much joy. But living being doesn't know. I said, a lot of this thing, the higher being know, living being doesn't know. And this year, the taking of the vow was very, very exceptional. And this year, a lot of things also happened, but people don't understand. This year's retreat is the first time I talk about mind-to-mind transmission. You realize? Because this is the teaching where only the Maha Bodhisattva can understand, the great being, the direct mind-to-mind seal. The direct teaching, mind-to-mind seal, nothing get lost on. Understand? All the teaching will go on. There is no adulteration or you call what? Like you receive 80%, 70%. No such thing. One. Mind-to-mind means both the nature are ready. Understand? Then, just like that, sometime like in the Surangama Sutta, the Buddha raised the flower. And Kasapa, Mahakasapa, smile back. The teaching has been transmitted. Finish. And it can be done. Well, my nature knew how it can be done. Like fifth patria transmit to sixth patria. Same. He no need teaching. He only need a few words. Because you know why. This form and mind, when it come, it has to connect back in there. And within one lifetime, even let's say this life, this segmental form and mind connect very early at the age of 35. So now you calculate it's almost 28 years already. Okay, 28 years. Yeah, it has stabilized, it has developed a lot of understanding. But before these 28 years, do you know how the truth come or not? How this nature understand or not? Because it has this ability. The moment there is truth spoken, or I read somewhere, or I heard somewhere, straight away this nature receive. And straight away this nature will connect, and it will inherit. You only need a few of this truth. That's it. Sometimes that person who share it doesn't understand. Never mind. But the truth will open up the thing, will connect. But these are the things that this nature has perfected and cultivated long ago. That's why it needs condition for it to come back. That's why when you are asked question, when there is condition, when the timing is correct, this teaching will come out. This teaching is there. It only needs condition for it to come out. Otherwise, how can it happen? Within 28 years, you can learn all this. I already told you a lot of the things I share with you, I never learned this life. Nobody taught me. The moment this nature heard truth, it understand. And how can it happen? It's because, like I used to share with you all, this nature inside here is still. Even though I share so much now, talking to you, doing all these things, but there is no movement inside, you know that? Then who is sharing? How does all this come out? That was what I shared in the Sunday sharing. Then last Tuesday, also I share. Maybe today, Thursday, we share. That's why I asked in video, why nobody asked me? When I mentioned, as I share with you all, inside, no movement, still. Then how does the sharing come about? How does this Dhamma come about? You never ask.
You know, we ask
Dhamma okay. Still got 2 minutes. Enough time. I already explained. You go and listen to the talk. It's all the same. Because this understanding is not from memory, not knowledge. This one is that nature awakened to and it inherit. And when it inherit this wisdom, like the Buddha, underneath the Bodhi tree, what happened? The moment he awakened, means he connect back, The Nimanakaya, the functional body, like this line, this breath tail you call Nimanakaya, the functional body that perform the function of breath tail to come to this world. When it connect, it will inherit from its spiritual nature. And this spiritual nature will come very fast. It will go in. And it's already there. But this one needs stability, understand not? Need condition for it to come out. That's why over the last 28 years, it is already all inside there. That as it develops any form of truth or condition, it will develop this understanding. Even while it share, it develops the understanding from inside. Then after that, this one becomes the whole of the embodiment, like you are called repository of wisdom. Understand? It's already there. But it's not stored anywhere, one. You understand? It's not in a fixed deposit box or anywhere. No, it's in the midst of nature. It's not even in the brain or the memory. It's within that nature. That's why this one will disappear. This wisdom, this understanding will disappear when this form of mind sees. Where it's unique to this form of mind. That's why the cultivation is not easy. Every form of mind that comes, it has to connect and develop all this. Then only it can share. And all this, this nature come to realize, this is how it can happen. Well, those who come earlier, they share. Then they left behind things, like Krishnamurti, even Sun Yen Fasu and others. Then, you remember we went to Fakusan. Of all the books I took back was the Bodhisattva Vow, the Path of the Bodhisattva. The other book, I didn't even really look at it or touch. Then it so happened when I flicked through, I saw what he wrote, which was very basic, but I knew what this thing is. Then I can elaborate on it. Then Yun Chan went again, the book, The Method or No Method, remember? Again, inside there, the five stages of Bodhi Mind development is all there. The moment I saw, I understood what that cultivation is, what that practice is. And all this cannot happen just like that. It's because it has done before. Then the whole thing becomes like so, like I used to tell you, it's actually not difficult when you understand. When you don't understand, it's very difficult. So it is this wisdom, this understanding that is connected and developed over the past 28 years, this one is direct from the nature. That's why straight from the heart it just come out. That's why it just share without anything from the brain, from the mind, from the memory. It's from the nature. The condition is just shine forth, radiate out, share. When there is no condition, nothing come out. And this one cannot, you cannot hold it somewhere on, cannot. It's not somewhere you can store and then pass it on and inherit. Cannot. That's why wisdom cannot be taught. Understand? I cannot give you wisdom. Understand? I can share with you the understanding. You have to walk your path yourself. You have to awaken to it. If you have your path, you don't need much work. You go and listen to my recording, you will awaken very fast. You will understand very fast. And a lot of people, because of the website later on, they will awaken, I tell you, the later generation. Yeah. It's because this type of sharing is very different. And the vibration is very different. Yeah. And over the years, it has become something very, very beautiful. That's why the Kayanamita grouping, the consciousness, is going to be very, very unique and very beautiful. That's why I used to tell you all. Even some of you must have heard, I heard from me from Brother Lim when he came to the house, the Sumeru one. He told you all, make full use of me before this form of mind go. Whatever you want to know, you ask. You better ask. Otherwise gone. Completely gone. It will go with the form of mind. Because this is unique to this form of mind. It's connected. And all this understanding and realization, because it's connected to this form of mind, that's why you can say this form of mind understand. This form of mind has the understanding. But this fellow is not me, understand? This is just a vehicle and a tool for it to come. But because it's connected to that nature, whatever awakening, it comes to understand. the cessation, everything, it comes to understand because it's connected. And when this one gone, the whole thing goes away. That's why you cannot say everybody got the Buddha nature. Means what? You think you already a Buddha? Cannot. You need to connect, understand? You need to connect to that trauma to realize it. Then inherit. Then only the spiritual nature start to inherit. Provided you have cultivated before, understand? If you have not, you have to start all over again, understand? It's just like maybe you only did up to Form 3 last time. So you continue from 4, Form 5, then Form 6, then go university. And then you go the higher degree and all those things. Then you specialize here and there. All the perfection is like specialization course you go and take until you full-fledged PhD. So all this is quite similar, not to say exactly the same. For the spiritual world, it's completely different. But the process is more or less the same. You have to go through the cultivation, the realization, the awakening. And the difficult part about this cultivation is every time it comes, the form and mind has to connect and has to do all these things again. That's why it's not easy. Without the sasana, you don't stand a chance, I tell you. You read the opening verse, you know. That's why that vow in the Cameron Highlands is so important, understand? To plant the seed of Bohi in your nature so that life after life when you come, this thing will come out. You only need to hear truth, no? No need to exact word of me, no? Any truth from anywhere. The moment you see, you understand? Like this life, the moment I saw the Four Noble Truth, I didn't even know what Buddhism was. I straight away knew, no need to search. Nobody can summarize all of his understanding into just four beautiful truths. The secret of life. I can even tell you it's the secret of life. All of mundane and super mundane, all that. Who can do that? He has to be the real one. How does this nature know? That time I was here, Form 5. It's from the past. That's why when you plant the seed of Bohi, when you come, all this become possible. Now it's song. Song is Wo Chong Zai. Joy is also Wo Chong Zai. So don't underestimate yourself. You have your nature. For you to be here, to have the affinity, to join the Kayamita, you have your path, I tell you. I guarantee you. You have your strong path. The only thing is, you all have not realized its potential. Where you don't have faith. Not to say you don't have. You have, but not enough. Your faith must be so strong that you have to believe that this is what you are. And you are going to realize all this. Because you have the ability. And I can tell you, before 2020, many of you will become very different. Very, very different. Okay, we better end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So next time, ask earlier so that we got more time. Whatever you want to know, you better ask. Because this one, I don't know how long, maybe 20 years, hopefully. 20 years, good enough. 83 years old. Cannot lah, 40 is too old. Yeah, this one, like the Buddha say, like a worn-out block. You want this form of mind to continue to go on. Wow, susah. That's why the Buddha say, enough is enough. If it's real, serious, cultivator, 20 years is enough. 20 years means what? Another 8 years to go. Yeah, I came out to share 204, 13 years, 7 more years to go. It's enough. Yeah. But got condition, I think it can continue. Safely, until 80 years old, not a problem. Yeah, la, safely. Safely. No, because this nature don't touch psychic. But nature has its own way. You have to understand nature. And when you have that faith, what you need is the faith, the sincerity, and the perseverance. Actually, you have enough teaching already. The website got enough already. You just have to listen attentively. But what we are going to share from now onward is very different. But this is the Bodhisattva way. These are the higher teaching that other beings cannot understand. Very difficult for them to understand. And because you all have followed me, that's why some of you can understand. And you will be very surprised that what you understand is by no means you think it's compared to the monk you are nothing. No, you are way beyond what they can understand. What you have understand or understood through all this sharing is way beyond a lot of cultivators, because they are still very much thought based. Do you understand? To even have one moment of true mind, silent mind, I tell you, the Surangama Sutta, the Diamond Sutta already mentioned, the merits that come with that pure thought is so much more than the one that uses the mundane mind to do. You can never compare. That moment of pure thought without greed, hatred, and delusion is so difficult to arise and so rare to have. And yet you can have it anytime. Sometimes in the midst of your daily life, your mind is just silent, aware, still. And this type of cultivation, I tell you, most people who can do this use energy field, jhana, concentration, some form of mantra or what. They are holding on to something. They cannot have a free mind that has this ability. No way. Yeah. That's why this understanding, this teaching, you can just lie down and meditate without thought, just like that. With the spiritual faculty there, the hindrance no more. And there's no movement. And you don't have to hold on to that thought. Many of you have experience, like Engby, they have experience. They can lie down at the cavern retreat, one corner, listen to my sharing. He said, more clear than when she sit in front. You know why? When she sit in front, all the other senses are active. That's why it's not that silent. But when you are there, lying down, complete silent, and you just listen, aware. That's why it's very different. And those consciousness are so different. And you use that parami, invoke the power of merits, it can really bring forth the causes and conditions for things to arise and happen. And these are so beautiful teaching. That's why a lot of things you all may not realize. But later on, when you come to understand and realize, you will be very amazed. Like last time I hinted to some of you, when you come to know what this nature is all about, you will get a shock of your life, I tell you. Okay, we better end. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Let us share merits with all beings. We invoke power of merits. We rejoice all the wholesomeness that we have developed together, and may this wholesomeness be shared by all, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumodhitvā chirang rakkhantu loka sasana itta vata cha ammehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Emina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Keep in respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end.